Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into the Midday Show here on a Trillville Thursday. Abe Gordon in for Andy Bunker here today and tomorrow alongside Randy McMichael. Randy, how are you today, man?
Hello, Abe. How are you, Abe? I am outstanding. As like you said, getting closer to the weekend as Bo's back into his house also. But, yeah, it's a good weekend for a ball. Getting ready for a glass for the next couple of days as we get to chop it up. And, you know, as when we had Dave Archer on yesterday and we were talking about the previous game, the previous soccer game, my words to him were like, all right, well, moving along to Washington.
Yeah.
I'm about ready to move along to Washington.
Yeah, I think
right
so. Yeah. And look, some of those discussions you're not going to be able to escape because they might play themselves into this week four matchup. And, you know, I was joking with Mike Conte before the show, and Zach Robinson's going to be, you know, in the headlights one way or another based on what happens here in week four. I think Michael Penix, to an extent, will as well. And I do think we have seen a penchant from Zach Robinson to listen to what the fan base is saying and kind of in like, I hear you and I hate you method, do something based off of that. First play, they're going deep.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, you remember last year, like they, I mean, not to, I wasn't going to bring up the pistol this early. Last year against the Steelers, they do all that pistol stuff. People are yelling about it. And then in week two, they're just running not out of pistol for like the first drive.
Okay. Well, I mean,
he's going to do something like that.
I mean, who knows? Who knows? I think you always go by what the game plan is because if you listen to the fans, you'll be at home with them.
Well, there you go.
But I think that, you know, the game plan, first of all, when you look at where the Commanders are, how healthy are their quarterbacks, who's going to be there? I know I saw this morning where he wants to play, but that he's going to listen
to
the doctors and all those, everything. So you got that going forward. You got that, you know, one thing to worry about because you still have to kind of game plan for him. But I think that, you know, when you go just Falcons heavy, it all has to start with them being able to run the ball. I just believe that. But more than anything, the quarterback's got to play better, mm-hmm. period. You can talk about pistol. You can talk about play action. You can talk about everything else. If he don't play good, it don't matter what the hell you call.
I think you can look at last week certainly in a couple of ways, right? You may have had the right play call and the wrong execution. And I think apart from the quality of throws, which were all over the place, the reads sometimes fell flat a little bit here and there. And, I think the quarterback can make a good play call bad or a bad play call good based on how he performs in that moment. And I certainly think you got a little bit of that. And we're going to talk about the Falcons and Commanders. I actually have an interesting question about the quarterback situation I want to get to here in the opening moments in a little bit. But we do have week four tonight as well. Getting started. Seahawks and Cardinals. NFC West game, 2-1, both of these squads. Someone's coming out of this thing at 3-1. I don't think that would be a massive surprise for the Seahawks based on their schedule. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, though, if they get to 3-1, I feel like that would be a little surprising.
Yeah, a little bit. But I think there were some people, you know, giving this Arizona Cardinals some outside possibilities that they may be better than most expected. I think that, you know, when you have a player like Kyler Murray, he keeps you in games, but he can also throw you out of games.
Right.
I don't think they've played their best. But I think one thing about it, I think their defense is pretty good. I think they're a lot, you know, they can get after the quarterback and do different things like that. But, you know, the thing with Seattle is we know, and it's proven so far in this short season, that their defense is going to be raw. You know, they got a lot of good young athletes on there. They can cover. They can rush a passer. Sam Darnold's playing pretty damn good. Their biggest thing is can they consistently stay healthy, especially the running back position. But no, I think that, you know, I would be surprised if tonight. I would be surprised if Arizona wins. I think Seattle wins tonight. But if Arizona does win, they're 3-1. And you're talking about, you know, in that division where I still think, you know, the Rams are the best team in there. I think that the 49ers are smoke and mirror, and the injuries are going to eventually catch up with them.
Well, I don't know if Mac is ready to play this week. But I don't know if Purdy's going to play this week.
That's the thing about it, just so many injuries. And then we already know that Bosa went down. So
yeah.
I think that, you know, if Seattle can get to 3-1, I mean, because we know this, it's hard as hell to play up there where they are.
Yeah.
If they could find ways to steal and sneak road wins, and this would be the one because – and I never won in Arizona, but ain't nothing intimidating about it.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Like, the NFC West is so interesting because I get it with the Rams, but I also feel like they're one bad hit from being...
Yeah, I mean, Matt Stafford. Yeah, definitely.
And so I don't know if they're ever real. I mean, they are, could be considered a favorite, but, like, there's also that massive, massive what if. What if he goes down week 10, week 11, and that team just it could completely fall apart? Now, they could lean on the run game, lean on the defense, and maybe figure out a way, but they could fall apart. And so, and the Niners, the injury bug's already getting at them. It's just going to be tough to see how consistently they can play as well. Although they did beat the Seahawks, so they do have in their favor right now. For the Falcons, you know, am I crazy for, like, trying to already scoreboard watch?
For what?
What the Bucs are doing?
Oh, talking about against the Eagles? Why are you?
Well, it's not even just this. Like, I was hoping that Nick Chubb. I told Andy this, or maybe it was you. I was hoping Nick Chubb took a knee as opposed to went in for that touchdown a couple weeks ago, and they ran the clock and kicked a field goal for the win. They gave the ball back to Baker. He leads another drive. Like, the Jets, right? It was right there, and then it wasn't. Like, I'm already looking at, can another team help out the Falcons and beat the Bucs? It hasn't happened twice already. Obviously, the Falcons didn't do their own job week one. This is certainly a tough game, but I'm already kind of looking at it like, if the Bucs get the Eagles, and it's a home game for Tampa, if they get the Eagles, I'm already here with the mindset. And again, why are we even bothering talking playoffs with the Falcons in regard to what we saw? I'm already like, wild card or bust.
No, I'm not even looking at it like that. I don't think you're crazy about that. I think that, you know, when you look at the success that the Bucs have had against the Eagles has been pretty wild, but they have had a lot of success against Jalen Hurts and his defense. I mean, against this Philadelphia Eagles team. I don't view it like that as far as wild card. There's still so much ball left.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go all the way there, but I do think that if Tampa wins it, they'll be in a commanding position right now.
Are we talking about them nationally enough in the realm of Lions, Eagles, Packers, Rams?
I don't think people are, but I think they should be,
right?
Yeah, I think they should be. I think Tampa's a really good football team and led by a quarterback that, you know, you just never count them out as long as he's their quarterback. Now, they're having some eventually, you know, one of those things where the injuries, you know, Mike went out.
Receiver,
they're still reshuffling their offensive line. I think Godwin's coming back. They said he's practiced this week, so he should be back. So.
Wirfs might be too.
And so I think that, you know, when you look at that Tampa team, they're very good. I think they're good. Now, are they like Detroit, Green Bay good? On a given Sunday, they could be, especially if they catch him down there in Tampa. But right now, I think, you know, where the Falcons are, is they just got to figure out how to get a win this week, man. I think that the most important thing, and I think that's why, you know, losing a game one way, we talked about this earlier, losing is obviously you don't want to lose, but how they lost and who they lost to is the biggest issue that I see.
And I think you've seen the players are mic'd up or talking, whether it's at the podium or amongst themselves. I think you've seen them kind of internally talk about how to bounce back, like how to rebound from this. And whether it's, hey, there are jobs on the line here, or it's like, hey, this is going to make us or break us type of conversations between Bijan and Tyler Allgeier, and let's get it going. I think, again, every week probably feels this way after a loss, but
this one was different. This is one of the worst losses that this team has had.
It seems very clear that they understand a response is needed.
Yes, definitely by that. I mean, you just saw Rod talked about it. I think who was on with the boys, the player yesterday? D'Alford. He talked about, like, people lose their jobs when you perform like that.
Right.
And so for them to go out and perform the way they did, yeah, I understand it was a big topic of discussion because of that. I think that, you know, that the biggest thing they got to do now is they got to come home and they got to be consistent. The one thing you don't want to do is start slow, something bad happen early, and then doubt creeps in that
energy,
whole building.
The energy drops.
You just don't want, you don't want to have that Sunday afternoon, because that's when, you know, the interest loss and who's getting fired next and all those different things. One coach has already got fired. When you look at, you know, the receiver coach gone. Now, is it, he said it's performance-based. I tend to believe that. I don't think it's more of a scapegoat thing like some people want to. If you believe that, I won't argue against it. But it just wasn't right. And if this is the thing that you got to do to, you know, get the offense rolling and not stalling and getting the plays in faster and all these different things, then you had to do what you had to do.
I'm going to ask you a yes or no question. Feel free to just say yes or no, or you can certainly lengthen it. Can it be considered a response if the end result is still a loss?
No.
So it's not even necessarily about performance. No. I mean, obviously you want to look good, but
damn if you perform good, okay. You look good and you lose.
Okay, I'm just checking. I'm just asking. Something I'm kind of focused on just in the back of my mind is that you are heading into a bye week. It's an incredibly early bye here for the Atlanta Falcons. What is your mindset normally heading into a bye week, and is it changed because of how early this game is?
No. What do you mean, change your mindset? Like, do you? Like,
is there any chance of a letdown because of the bye week?
Oh, I would hope not. I would hope not.
And I think because of how you perform week three.
I thought if they were 2-1, I might say maybe, but they're 1-2. What the hell are they letting down for? You know, I think that they feel, and again, the back's against the wall. It's so early to say your back's against the wall. They need to win this football game. You know, they need to win this football game because of all of the optics that starting quarterback might not be playing, starting receiver might not be playing. They're banged up on the defensive line. I know they've been running the ball, where they ran the hell out of the ball, but it was against Vegas. But yeah. I think that, you know, if you look at it from a standpoint of, like, they can pass this week, you just got your ass whooped 30-0 in Carolina. What are you? You have no business looking past anything.
I know it's only one game, but how – I mean, it feels like a mountain of difference between heading into the bye 1-3 and heading into the bye 2-2.
Hell yeah, it does.
Like, it's only one game, but it feels massive.
Yeah. Hell yeah, it does.
1-3 feels like you're out of the playoff talk already.
But you keep on talking about that word, that
I know.
P word.
I know, yeah, I know. But 2-2 feels like, you
keep,
you know.
You keep bringing up that word.
Randy, it's been a while.
Everybody knows that.
I'm desperate, man.
Can they win a damn game? Everybody keeps talking about this playoffs, or they're going to be stuck in the wild card. They got to play Washington this weekend. Can they get a win there and go into the bye week feeling good and you know, trying to get some momentum? Because they got the best team maybe in football coming in the week after that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with maybe the best player in football coming after that. So, yeah, you want to win this.
That's why this one's big.
This football game. I don't think it's big because of that. I think it's big because of what just happened.
That too.
Yeah, I think it's more just what happened than what's going on, than what's in front of you. So I think that they, and Rod knows this, and this team knows this. They got to play their best game of the year. Why not start now? You know, because that was a bad look. It was a bad look for the, and it wasn't just here. Nationally, people were like, whoa, what the hell happened to the damn Falcons? So, yeah.
They almost never get covered nationally.
Ever.
And when they do, that's what we get.
It's usually that.
What are the two biggest stories that have been covered nationally by the Falcons? Outside of, like, the Penix draft pick, it was 28-3, and it was 30-0.
Yes.
There's been no national coverage of this team between then. That's it. Those are our two talking points on ESPN, Fox, and all that. Not great. All right, I do have a question for you about the quarterbacks. I wasn't able to squeeze it in then. We'll also hear from Raheem Morris about the quarterbacks on – sorry, let me be clear. The Commanders' quarterbacks, not what's going on here. I think what's going on here is pretty obvious. This hour of the Midday Show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Coming up next, what's trending? College football gets started tonight. Week 5, NFL gets started tonight. Week 4. The Braves. We'll tell you what happened to them yesterday as well. It's the Midday Show. Abe Gordon, Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Clearly very similar guys, you know, in the fact that they can both run. You know, we're talking about the both number two picks in the draft. Both two guys that made their living with their legs for a long time, but actually can then spin and do some really good things. You know, Marcus went out there and got a big-time win from last week. Obviously, the age difference is different, but the game plan won't change as much for the guy who's calling it, right? You may run the ball a little bit more, whether you're talking about with Marcus or you're talking about with Jaden, but those are just the things you got to be ready for. So, like, we got a good picture of what Marcus is going to do next week and how, I mean, last week and how that looked. And you definitely know what Jaden's done over the course of last year right. and up until this point. So you got to get ready for both of them. And when they get there, we'll be prepared. You know, our defense is ready to deal. A lot of the similar stuff that we know. Cliff Kingsbury is the constant, and we know what it looks like and got to be ready to prepare for that.
That's Raheem Morris. He joined Dukeson Bell yesterday. He'll join almost every Wednesday, depending on game day. Might switch to a Thursday or a Tuesday or whatever if it's a Thursday game, whatever. Join Dukes and Bell up there at Flowery Branch talking about the Commanders and the quarterback situation. There's been no word yet, really, but you know, everyone I've talked to up in D.C. it seems unlikely that Jaden Daniels is going to play. I know he said he would like to go.
Right.
Going to be left up to the doctors. I did see yesterday he's never played a game with a knee brace on, mm-hmm. which, I mean, I guess unless you have a knee injury, you wouldn't want the brace because right. it's maybe too limiting. The question I had for you last segment, didn't get to it, Randy, is considering the limitation to Jaden Daniels, I don't think he's going to be quite the runner he would be if he were 100% healthy, right, coming off a knee sprain. What's the difference between him and Mariota if he is limited but still playing?
Oh, man. Well, I mean,
is there much of one?
I think the thing with Jaden is, you know, he's such a dynamic player, and his legs are a big part of what he does.
Right.
The thing with it is, you know, if it's extending plays or if it is the quarterback run or if it is, you know, things of that nature, you know, like if he's going to be injured, you would assume that a lot of the plays that calls for him to move would probably be out of it. But, I mean, you do have your limitations with Marcus. But I think Cliff is such a good OC that he's able to do and help what Marcus does more. If Marcus is playing, you're going to see more of quarterback runs. You're going to have to be, you know, you're talking about the backside rusher. You're going to have to be patient because Marcus will pull the ball and go, and he still has that big-time speed. He had a big run last week against Vegas, he'll put the ball on the ground as he did last weekend against Vegas. So I think, you know, just if he does not go, which to me is starting to get more and more like he won't,
right?
Then, you know, you can just hone in on Marcus, and he's a different quarterback because – like, Jaden doesn't look to run. Marcus looks to run more than Jaden. Jaden wants to throw the ball. He can run, but I think the thing with Marcus is he looks for it more. Matter of fact, they're going to look for it more as far as in the play calling to have Marcus not right. put the ball gotcha. In the air as much as you will with Jaden.
If all things being equal and with the understanding that Jaden would be somewhat limited, who would you prefer Marcus. To have start?
Marcus.
Okay.
Yeah, Marcus.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And
hell yeah, it ain't even a question. Marcus,
if you could take the weapon away from Jaden, that probably scares you as much as any it being the legs. I still think I'd rather have Mariota in there.
Yeah,
it's just okay. I just making sure.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I wasn't psycho for being like I know he's 100%, but
yeah, no, I don't. It's not too many, especially in the NFL. It's not too many. Backups that you wouldn't want to play over the starter. The game plan is simplified because most NFL teams, we got a backup and we have to shrink down the play calling. If you're a kind of quarterback like Marcus's, like his profile or whatever, the Falcons can, you know, kind of creep those safeties up a little bit more. You may probably be able to play a lot more man-to-man. And the thing with playing more man-to-man is that because Marcus is such a great athlete, you don't see him when he's breaking out of coverage and things like that. So
yeah.
He has his advantages and disadvantages. But, no, I don't think there's too many NFL teams that would prefer the starter over the backup if you had the game plan for.
you know, the other thing we're keeping an eye on is Terry McLaurin. We'll have more of this in the NFL No Huddle, but he seems potentially that he might miss this game as well. They've got a couple other injuries. Certainly Eckler's out among the running backs, and they're a little bit banged up potentially coming into this game. I did look up just now, do you know who third string is? Just if you're going to run Marcus and he gets hurt and Jaden Daniels is not going, do you know who would theoretically serve as backup?
Josh Johnson.
That good guess.
Was that right?
That's right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think. I mean, it seemed like that would have been something.
You didn't say it confidently, but that's 100% right. Yeah. They could be facing Josh Johnson. Who knows? Look, week four in the NFL kicks off tonight. I think it's a really fun game to watch. Seahawks and Cardinals. I really haven't had an opportunity to watch that much of Kyler Murray this year just because of game times and what's been going on.
Right.
I know Harrison's still kind of up and down a little bit.
He had a rough one last week.
People are looking for him to kind of be a little bit bigger. They lost James Conner, right?
Yeah, he's out for the season. A bad ankle injury. But, yeah, the thing with Marvin, because he was, oh, I'm damn near about to cry in the presser. Mm-hmm. I mean, he lost by 1 point last week to San Fran. So that's one of those things where, you know.
Edie Pinheiro with a game winner.
You don't want. If you're Seattle, for that to be his breakout damn game. You want to continue to keep them where they are. But I think, you know, when you look at, you know it's not in Seattle. It is in Arizona. So, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the line is on this thing.
I bet it's small.
Like 1.5 or something like that.
I was going to say maybe like Seattle 2-5.
Let's see here.
Like as a road favorite?
1.5.
Seattle or Arizona?
Seattle.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Road favorite there. College football kind of kicks off. Army and Eastern Carolina. Army's kind of lost a little bit of my interest after a couple of losses this season. So
it's bad losses, dude.
Yeah. Tarleton State certainly was. Losses. They rebounded with what was at the time viewed as a good win, right? The win over Kansas State. Kansas State hasn't figured out anything.
Awful,
so
man. They're awful.
I will tell you this. We'll get to it tomorrow in what's trending. Friday night in college football is actually not bad.
No, I mean, you think about
Friday's got some good games.
Yeah, I mean, Florida State going up to Charlottesville to take on UVA.
Yeah.
And UVA at night.
I just want to see something from Florida State.
Yeah,
I mean, they put up 77 in week two, school record. TCU is another team I want to get more of a look at because we've kind of just lost sight of TCU after Georgia put it to them.
And they were Sunny Dykes because they looked like ass the next year.
Right. People forgot they were 8-4 last year and have started out quite well this year. I think they're now ranked in the top 25. The Braves win streak comes to an end. Yesterday it was 10 games. Had a chance. They were threatening in late innings ninth to come back in this one, but they fall 4-3. Off day today, and then home series against the Pirates to wrap things up there for the Atlanta Braves season. Ryder Cup starts tomorrow there at Bethpage Black, 7 a.m. I know you and Andy were kind of talking about the Ryder Cup a little bit yesterday.
I was like, damn, that's it, huh?
I know. I heard you say it's like,
damn, that's it, huh?
Well, it was kind of – for 2 months, we're like, can this season just end?
Yeah.
We're not – I also think we're just used to the season going to like October 2nd, October 3rd, and the fact that it is like four or five days.
Into the first week of October at least.
Yeah.
Well, at least. I meant just the regular season and playoffs as well. Yeah, it kind of is creeping up. Unfortunately for me, United season is just dragging on, man. Like the fact that we can't clear these last four games in 4 days is brutal because I got a whole month of this stuff left.
Yeah.
Ryder Cup tomorrow, 7 a.m., Bethpage Black.
Do we know the matchup shit?
I didn't look. But they may already be announced. They may just not be announced until today. I'm kind of with you, Randy. I'll obviously watch. It'll be on. I have a tough time going from like, these are some of the golfers I really enjoy watching this season to like just defiantly being against them in terms of rooting, obviously, for the U.S. and against Europe. I just – I want the U.S. to win. I don't know. It's it's tough for me to just kind of flip the switch and not want to root for any of the guys that I enjoyed during a regular tournament. And yeah. I like the you versus the field of the regular tournament.
I mean, that's what I was talking about yesterday. But, I mean, obviously I'm going for the United States to win this thing. But just like, you know, there's Europe, I mean, you like a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you just do. I mean, they're staples and everything like that. But, no, I mean, you know, I'm just always curious of what kind of drama is going to go on. I think that's always the biggest thing with me. But, yeah, we talked about it yesterday. The funniest thing is – the funniest headline going into it is that the captain is no longer – he's just the captain. One of the best – he's playing one of the best golfers so far this year decides, you know what, give his spot to somebody that was not as good as him. But, no, I love Scottie Scheffler. Love Rory. You know, you love all these different dudes, so it's really hard to root for. But I'm always going to take the U.S. over anybody.
Yeah, Colin Morikawa was talking. He wants it to be kind of a wild scene.
Yeah, he wants to be a little chippy and all those. And then we're on home soil, so that would help the win also.
I think it's kind of tame so far. Tuesday and Wednesday, I know tomorrow's going to be pretty bad, but I hope Friday is just absolute chaos.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I think it feeds into who we are and the American players and the American team. We want it. Like, we want to use that to our advantage. I think every sport uses their home crowd to their advantage.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing I love about the Ryder Cup is that part.
The atmosphere is allowed to be non-golf.
Yeah,
you
love that part about it, man. The excitement and the crowd reaction. The players feed off of it, obviously. But when he says chaos, I hope he means chaos in a good way. That's the big thing for me. Chaos meaning that it ain't going right for us. That'd be a not so good thing.
Yeah, the good news is day one, you're probably not winning it or losing it. Obviously, yeah. I mean, you'd have to have either the greatest day in Ryder Cup history or the worst day in Ryder Cup history. So you kind of time it out. I do think day two though gets interesting because you got to be pretty close heading into singles on day three.
Yeah. Hey, guys, let me read this one. Don't forget today we have a special broadcast of Dukes and Bell. They're going to be at Loyal Tavern in Roswell as they get you set for Thursday Night Football. And a look ahead to all the big college games as well as the NFL games this weekend. That's Dukes and Bell today from 2 to 6 at Loyal Tavern in Roswell.
All right, when we come back, got a couple more Falcons questions for you, maybe a little larger NFL grab bag. And I want to go see a movie this weekend. I'll probably see it tomorrow. It's so long, I can't even fit it in today.
Date night?
What?
Never mind.
What? No, it's just me. What are you talking about? Anyways, we'll get into it. A lot still to come. This hour is brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. A little more NFL coming up next. It's the Midday Show. Abe Gordon, Randy McMichael, Bo Johnson. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Gucci.
Welcome back into the Midday Show. Abe Gordon, Randy McMichael. You know, like every day, some sports account will tweet out something that happened this year.
I said it, start all the way over again. Some what?
Some sports account, whatever.
Oh, okay.
We'll post like this on this day in sports history, this happened.
Okay.
Today, 25 years ago, was in the Olympics, Vince Carter over Frederick Weiss.
Goodness gracious.
And I feel like I'm going to get criticized real bad right now.
I mean,
real
any
bad.
More than you usually do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I think you're going to come at me with pure disdain.
No.
Even more than you usually
do. No, because I can feel how you're setting it up.
You're saying
it was overrated or something like that?
Not at the time, no. Okay. In the moment, it was the craziest thing I had ever seen.
Right.
As I watch it now, uh-huh. and we've seen athleticism grow in the sport, and I just wish it has nothing to do with Vince. It has to do with Frederick Weiss. I wish he had done more defensively. It is a poster, but it could have been a different poster. You know what I mean? Like, he's getting dunked on.
Okay. So what are you talking about?
Just jumping over him doesn't seem overly impressive anymore. Well, and I wish he had been dunked on.
It's amazing that somebody that can barely touch the net.
Randy?
With a running
start. If it's
start,
a slightly the, short net, I don't it, think God can brush it.
It's amazing that somebody that, you know, I know that you're a runner and that you have all this pent up.
That has nothing to do with
this
it.
This untapped athleticism.
But it's there.
Vince is athletic in any genre ever. Now, the funniest thing about that whole dunk was that he almost knocked out Kevin Garnett with that fist pump when he dunks on him. And then he turns around and fist pump that damn near knocks Kevin Garnett out.
It's also funny to see Vince with hair.
But that was the funny thing.
That's the other thing that this replay keeps showing.
Remember they were growing their hair out for that Olympics. But yeah, man, I'm not going to criticize you. I'm just not going to pay you any attention.
Yeah, it's just...
And just keep it moving. Because, do you do box jumps?
Not often.
But that's what I'm saying. Because of the athletic part of doing box jumps is probably why you don't do it, right?
You think that's why?
I do.
I don't strength train at all. I do believe that.
But at the same time, yeah, I'm not going to pay that any mind. And I would prefer that nobody out there who you just said that to, who you're looking to get the reaction
well,
from,
it's,
don't pay Abe no mind. It was one of the most athletic plays ever. The dude got caught slipping. And he got his ass posterized in one of the best dunks I've ever seen.
Do guys do that now? Like, does that still happen today? What I mean is, like,
do you not see Ja Morant trying to fly over people?
No. I'm talking defensively. Guys don't just stand there and take the charge. Like, that's what he was trying to stand there and take a charge, except Carter went over him,
exactly.
Not through him, right?
He didn't anticipate him
guys
going
don't,
over him.
Do guys just stand there and take the charge?
I feel like today
they just get out the way and let the guy dunk.
They get out of the way, but they didn't anticipate him.
Yeah.
He didn't anticipate that.
It was coming off a turnover, and so it happened very quickly.
It was a quick turnover, and it was going really fast, and Vince just went up and
– That's got to be – I mean, obviously it was devastating for him.
I don't think he saw Vince until Vince was in the air.
Not even in the moment, but like you've worked your whole career, your whole life,
like
building up to be one of the best basketball players in the world.
He didn't see him.
No, I don't think he saw him. Nothing you have done before or after in your career will ever matter.
No.
Like there is one seminal moment in your career, and it's you getting dunked on. Like there's no number of like European championships you could have won.
Well, I mean, it could be. What is that dude Frederick Wise? What has he done?
I'm pretty sure. I don't want to say anything disrespectful.
Yeah, let's not do that.
But would you be surprised? I'll phrase it this way: would you be surprised if, like, a lot of his post playing career has been signing
that poster,
that photo, while Vince Carter has also signed it?
Well, it depends on how much you're paying them. Now, I would never sign a poster of me getting dunked on. I would never do that.
Like, Al Downing has made a lot of money just signing the Hank Aaron poster,
yes.
Right? Like, Bill Buckner signed posters of the ball going through his legs. That is an industry. It's probably not how you thought you'd make your money signing autographs, but that's a thing.
Let me look up and see what this guy's done.
I'm sure he's been fine. I think he went into coaching afterward. I'm sure.
Yeah, there he is. A French former basketball player. Basketball can't destroy. They did a, like 30 for 30 on him.
Because the moment ruined his life, Randy.
How he overcame depression.
Yeah.
You were that beat down that you got your ass dunked on that.
Randy, you were on the losing end of the most viral moment. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
That's no other highlight of yours ever gets shown.
That's crazy.
Even if they talk about you in a good light, it's like, and here's when he got dunked on at the Olympics.
That's crazy. They had an SEC feature on this man.
Yeah.
That talking about he overcame demons. Yeah. Are you serious? Well, you know what? I ain't never been embarrassed like that before, so.
That's what I'm, like, yeah. yeah. How do you rebound from that?
He overcame depression and all that. Damn.
You think the Falcons are depressed?
No.
30-0? No, it's just bad.
Damn, I did not realize that. But yeah, they had an SC feature on him. Vince took his soul. So, a lot of soulless people go through depression. Plenty of people go through depression. But, I never would have thought that the fact that he got dunked on like that would. But, moving along.
I'd tackle you. I'd get thrown out of the game before you jump.
He didn't see him.
I know.
He didn't see him. He didn't see him, man.
All right, I got a couple, one or two Falcons questions, and then we'll move on to some other NFL stuff here, Randy. Do you think that on Sunday against the Commanders that you go into the game, the coaching staff, Zach Robinson, whoever, calling plays with the mindset that unless you have no other choice, you're not taking a field goal attempt?
What do you mean?
Just going for it on fourth and six? From the 30?
You cannot go outside of who you are. I mean, if you're telling me that you're – because the thing with that is that puts you at risk of giving the team the ball or Washington the ball with good field position. And I think people look at too much – or Dan Campbell will. Well, Dan Campbell's team is better than the Falcons. Dan Campbell's offense is better than
the Falcons.
So I think that you got to put it in that context. I'm still curious to see who's going to be the kicker this weekend.
Because they did have the
open whatever kick. They have the competition right now. They signed this kid to the practice squad. So you want to see if that will – my thing is, if you're telling me the competition is going to help you in practice, how do you know it's going to help you in the game? Because this kid went 5 for 5 last week, and then the following week he shanks both of his damn kicks. So I think either you're a good damn kicker or you're not. I view it as that. And we talk, it's going to be in a controlled environment. We understand that. And he was 5 for 5 in a controlled environment. But, yeah, I don't think that you go out of sight. You just get desperate early because it's fourth and six at the 30 lineup. And you hope that this dude does what he gets paid to do, period.
And my mindset is all right, so you got the red zone, right? And then there's this term, some people use it, some people don't. I like it, called the maroon zone, right? Where you're just in between.
Right.
Too close to punt, a little too long for a field. I just think that zone increases. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand.
It used to be from the 38 to the 50, you would just – maybe you would run a play as opposed to punt. I don't know if I want to take a 47, 48 yarder right now. If it's fourth and four, I think I'd rather go for it than attempt a 48 yarder.
And it could be a thing where they might have to do that. I think that you would do that if he missed. I don't think you would do that.
After the first one.
Yeah, yeah. If he misses it bad, then you might not have a choice but to do that. But I don't think the first and fourth and five or something at the 30 that you're going to go for. I think you give him an opportunity because he has a distance. He has a leg to make the kick. It's just the whole accuracy part about it. So I think
that's the problem.
I think that's what you would do if it's the first time in there.
Let's go to the other side, the NFL. We'll talk Falcons a little bit later. I'm so frustrated with this team. I just want to see it now. I just want to get to Sunday and see them look different. Or look the same, and we have a different discussion. Russell Wilson, bench for Jackson Dart. That was the first starter to get switched out there for performance / record, whatever. Who do you think is next?
Sorry, you talking about starting quarterback that's going to get the hook? Probably Joe Flacco.
I got Flacco here as an option. I got Rattler as an option.
I don't look at Rattler as that.
For me is J.J. McCarthy, could he lose his job while recovering from injury?
Yes. I think that you're in a situation, if you're Minnesota, if Carson Wentz continues just to not stink, then you go ahead and do it. They got back-to-back games overseas, come back bye week. I think J.J. might be ready by then, but if you win both of those games overseas and then you have the bye week, I would not bring J.J. McCarthy back if I'm Minnesota. I know you want to look at and see what the young quarterback has and everything, but – I think a lot of times it's, what's the phrase? If it's not broke, don't fix it. I leave it just the way it is. But now it's all predicated on how good Carson Wentz plays because he stinks. They play Pittsburgh first. If he stinks in that game, he's going to get the next game overseas. But if he's bad in both those games, yeah, then maybe you go back and you try to see where this JJ thing is going. But I think as long as Carson is playing well or not, not losing games, then, you know, because they're going to have most of their complement of weapons because Addison's coming back now. And so you have another weapon to go along with JJ and also the tight end. So if they are able to continue rolling, hell, I don't see why not.
I still think they made a mistake with Russell Wilson, Jackson Dart. I was talking about this yesterday to you guys. I just think they're doing it 1 week too early. I think you're setting up Jackson Dart for some real issues. I think you're playing the Chargers this week. Feels like you're due for a loss. I would have let Russell Wilson eat that loss and then move on to Jackson Dart next week.
I think a lot of people thought that, but Brian Daboll's like, hey, dog, we can't. Maybe they look at it, we're at home. You know, I don't know how he views it, but I think that, you know,
that might be true. They may not want their first start to be, but it is the Saints, the Saints. But on the road, it's I think, exactly. You know, still, sorry, Ball. And then the Flacco thing, you're just going right to Dylan Gabriel and what, hoping that there's something there.
Yeah. I think, the thing with the Browns is I think until it falls off the cliff, meaning multiple losses.
Because they got a win last week that exactly. Maybe you didn't think they would.
And so I think if it's more or less, you know, that they're falling off and things like that, I do believe that both Dylan Gabriel and Shadur will get to play at some point this season because you still have to figure out what they are. You got the two first-round picks. You got the two first-round picks, so is that a possibility? I'm not one that's sold on this incoming quarterback class like so many other people are. I'm just not. I'm not there yet. With all the quarterbacks that are playing in college now, getting ready for this draft, I'm not sold on all of them yet. So I think that you got to figure out, if you're the Browns, figure out what you got. Because we know this, and they know this. Joe Flacco is definitely not the answer, the future of that football team. But, you know, as long as that defense, because that defense is going to keep you in most damn games. Mm-hmm. They really, really are. They're that good. They're that elite, especially up front. And if they're able to do that, you want to go with a guy like Joe who won't lose it. But do they have a quarterback on the roster that will go win it?
You want to talk about 3-0 teams or 0-3 teams?
Neither one, actually, but go ahead.
Do you want to talk about the 7 rookie head coaches? Or not rookie, but first year with their teams?
Go ahead.
Which of the 7, quote, new head coaches doing the best, worst jobs with their teams? Ben Johnson, Pete Carroll, Mike Vrabel, Liam Cohen, Brian Schottenheimer, Aaron Glenn, or Kellen Moore?
Definitely not Kellen Moore. They got a rub. But I think, you know, a lot of that has to do maybe with their environment. Man. I mean, Liam Cohen, I mean, they are 2-1.
Yeah, he was one of the guys I kind of looked at.
They are 2-1. I mean, you can't argue with the record of 2-1. Now, they haven't played their best, but
I think Ben Johnson has come into Chicago and done what he does best. I think the problem is the other side of the ball, the side that he's not working on. Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, their defense isn't good, and I think they still got a long way to go. Last week and a couple weeks, I'm not basing anybody's offensive performance who played the Cowboys. Just not going to do it. Just not going to do it. Now, I was good. It was good to see the young quarterback play well, but Dallas is awful defensively. They are so bad. I mean, they can't stop the run. They can't put rush the passer. They can't stop the pass. They are a bad, bad defensive football team. But if we talk differently about you if you didn't. So I'm thinking that if Jordan Love doesn't throw for like 405 touchdowns against them.
I was going to say, it sounds like you might be working your way towards one of your picks.
Oh, no,
tomorrow.
I think Green Bay is going to beat the absolute crap.
Sounds like you might have set on that game for
your, they're gonna beat the absolute crap
your Friday game. Picks. I got to remind myself to text Bunk to get his picks before he leaves us high and dry on that one. All right, hour one down. We got a little bit more NFL coming up. The NFL no huddle. We got some sound. Plus, I want to talk about this Hall of Fame. There's like 128 names, but there's 13 first-year names I want to go through with you, Randy, and see who might get there. Also, Drew Brees called one of the best offenses in the NFL boring.
I don't understand boring when you win.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'll have a boring-ass Super Bowl as long as I got that ring.
And Brian Callahan. He keeps climbing on the list of could be the next NFL coach fired, so we'll talk about it too. NFL No Huddle coming up your way. We got a college football corner. We're going to start taking a look at some of the games in Week 4. We've talked about some of the big ones. We'll continue that. Back page with Bo, all coming your way. Hour number two of the Midday Show up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.